Inga in the Morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to America's Auto Enthusiast Program. This is Auto World. And now, here's your host, Bob Long.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me here for another hour of Auto World. And what a great hour we've got planned for you. We're going to be chatting with William Jeans momentarily, telling you all about two wonderful articles that you can check out in the Saturday Evening Post, the May-June edition of the Saturday Evening Post. Telephone-wise, you can get a hold of us at our usual number from anywhere in North America. It's 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And in honor of William's appearance, we threw out a trivia question a little late in the previous hour, and that is, which car company brought us the electric turn signal? And as William points out in this article, even today in 2011, many people still don't use them, but this car company was the first to bring them to market, the electric turn signal. What year was that? 800-259-9231. Well, this gentleman is one of my favorite guests. There's no question about it. I consider him one of the greatest automotive journalists of all time, certainly on my list. He's up there in my journalist heroes, along with David E. Davis Jr. and a few other folks. He was the former editor-in-chief for Car and Driver magazine, publisher both Car and Driver and Road and Track. He also has been an entrepreneur and started a number of other car magazines, and he has written at least one book, and a very, very interesting book that is indeed, and he's an all-around great guy. Let's all welcome William Jeans to the airways of Auto World. William, how you doing?
I'm doing good. With introductions like you deliver, I don't see how you could do anything but feel good. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Well, you're right up there with the late David E., and certainly I know you knew David E. As a matter of fact, I believe David E. hired you.
Indeed. In fact, I guess I could say he hired me twice. I'm one of the few people who worked for David. He never fired. he was an ace at firing his pals, because they would usually patch things up somewhere down the line.
Very good. Well, this
but
is a...
we were actually quite close in David's later years.
Yeah, he really was an amazing gentleman and will be missed by all of us, but. Great tribute, and you were part of that tribute in the latest, or not the latest, but the previous month's edition of Car and Driver magazine. But let's focus on this wonderful series of articles, two articles in the current issue, the May-June edition of the Saturday Evening Post, celebrating America's 125-year love affair with cars, along with a companion piece on the Indy 500 celebrating 100 years. That one's called Ladies and Gentlemen, Start Your Engines. So, William, for some of our younger listeners, this is going to be a real treat, telling the story of this love affair that has been going on for quite some time. The automobile really changed America, certainly. It really changed the world, because when you go back into the 1880s and back before anything but horses and carriages and stuff like that, I mean, folks didn't get a chance to move very far from where they were born. I mean, they pretty much stayed in the general general vicinity of where they were born.
Yeah, you were pretty well trapped unless you lived on the railroad line, in which case you could get out of town for long distances. Actually, we had quite a good railroad system at one time in the country, but most places weren't on the railroad, and you were indeed relegated to the use of your horse and wagon, or just your horse, and that's not going to take you much more than 15 or 20 miles from home. And forget that they used to work 5 or 6 days a week. So you didn't have a whole lot of chance to do traveling, and the car absolutely just changed all that radically.
And how was the car initially received by the public? I understand there was a little bit of resistance on the part of at least some.
Well, you had most of the listeners have probably heard some of the loony stories about laws that were passed that required somebody to walk in advance of the car with a red flag to warn horses and little children and people that a car was coming. So it was regarded pretty suspiciously because very often the early cars would have two legs sticking out from under it while the poor owner was trying to get the thing to run, and the horse just clopped right on, you know. And you've heard the expression "get a horse." Well, that's where that comes from. On the one hand, it was suspicion, but by the time a fairly reliable car was built, and the one that's normally cited as the Ford Model T, it was not only reliable, but Mr. Ford's marketing plan called for reducing the price. The more it sold, the more money he was making, of course, but the volume allowed him to reduce the price. And he quite literally put America on wheels and changed our world forever.
Absolutely. Let's go way back, way, way back, because most people do think of Henry Ford when they think of, you know, the start of the automobile. But the truth of the matter is it goes back into the 1880s, and it goes to the country of Germany. Tell us about the first beginning of what today is the automobile, the first beginnings, I should say, with a gentleman with the last name of Benz.
Yes, well, Carl Benz and was one engineer and inventor, and Gottlieb Daimler was the other one. And independently, they arrived at some internal combustion engine-powered contraptions. One was a motorcycle, one was a three-wheeler, and the patent was given originally to Mr. Benz in 1885. They later combined, of course, and the company was for many years known as Daimler-Benz, and they produced the Mercedes-Benz automobiles. And today it's still called Daimler.
That's true.
And so, I mean, there is an unbroken line of history that is exactly 125 years old.
And
126, actually, but.
An amazing little factoid here, as I pointed out to you recently. I had no idea that Daimler was a photographer and a cheese merchant, but you pointed out to me that, back in those days, it was about inventing and inventors. I mean, those were the people that were on the cutting edge of building something like an automobile.
Exactly, and the early pioneers in the auto industry were all over the lot. I mean, they were just adventuresome people because, you know, here was a device that had never existed before, and it, you know, first appearing in three wheel forms, and then came four wheels, and of course there were, back in the early part of the last century, there were actually some six wheel cars built, not terribly successfully, but they were built. But these were people who enjoyed innovating and anything new that they thought they might be able to sell to the public.
So the Carl Benz Gottlieb Daimler partnership worked well over in Europe and Germany. And here in the United States, there were a couple of brothers in my home state here of Massachusetts that made a lot of noise. They were called the Duryea brothers. Tell our listeners about these two fellows.
Well, the Duryea brothers were interesting because what they did was do the first series production. In other words, build the same thing over and over again. Now, they didn't build that many of them, but they established the principle that, you know, that this could be done, that you could say, okay, I'm going to build this car, and I'll build one for the lady down the street and the one for the man across town. And
Absolutely. Hold that thought, William. We'll be right back.
Haggerty Collector Car Insurance.
Yeah, so what happens if I've got a claim?
You call our 800 number.
And get some guy in Kuala Lumpur?
No, we actually have an in-house claims unit.
And it'll take, like, months to send me my check.
Oh, we're lightning fast with our settlements.
Of course, you'll probably send me to your brother-in-law's repair shop.
Sir, the restoration shop is always your choice.
One more question.
Sure.
What kind of a freak house are you guys running?
Some things are too good to be true, like Haggerty Collector Car Insurance. Visit Haggerty.com.
You know, these days, we all can afford to save some money. Let me tell you about a simple device called the Tornado that helps your vehicle go further on a tank of gas. It works by creating a swirling effect in your engine's combustion chamber that results in a better mix of fuel and air, giving you more power and more mileage. You can't go wrong. Tornado is easy to install and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit TornadoAir.com or go to your local Pep Boys, AutoZone, Napa, Checker, Schucks and Fragen, or other fine stores to buy your gas-saving Tornado device today.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the middle of Corvette Boulevard and Stingray Avenue, this is Auto World with your host, Bob Long.
We're celebrating the 125-year love affair with the automobile by talking about the early days of the automobile with William Jeans. You can read a fascinating article in the current edition of the Saturday Evening Post, the May-June edition, and it's accompanied by wonderful illustrations of covers that the Saturday Evening Post in which the cover featured automobiles. And, William, I know my parents growing up used to get the Saturday Evening Post, and I am very much a fan of the Saturday Evening Post, and it's just great to see some of those old covers.
It really is. They're wonderful. And, of course, a preponderance of them are done by Norman Rockwell, but by no means all. But they're really fun to look at.
Absolutely.
My dad, who I guess died at the age of 76 about 20 years ago, used to sell the Saturday Evening Post when he was at Sprout.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Wow. So this is cool that you've got this wonderful couple of articles in the May-June edition. And before the break, you were telling us about the Duryea brothers. So they're real...
The Duryea brothers only built 13 cars, but it was the first series-produced automobile, and is historically important for that. And then the guy for whom the Oldsmobile was named, Ransom E. Olds, and also the Rio, for that matter, came along and actually was the first man to incorporate mass production. Now, Ford came along later and today gets most of the credit for it because he truly modernized it and you could almost call it mass construction. But the Olds began with the little curved dash Olds, a little small tiller steered car around the turn of the century. And by very early on, I guess let me just guess. I may be inaccurate here, but they were building 2,500 cars a year. They got that up to 5,000 cars a year, and that was around 1904. And to put that in some perspective, Benz over in Europe, who had invented the car, built 572 vehicles in 1899. So the Americans in this case really took the ball and ran with it.
Absolutely. As we mentioned earlier, of course, Henry Ford, we'll talk about him in a moment, but got to talk about Ferdinand Porsche. 1900 was the year, and, you know, as we alluded to on an earlier broadcast, I mean, Porsche's got this super expensive 918 Spyder, which is going to have like a 500 horsepower V8 engine combined with electric motors at each wheels, and it's beautifully styled. It's going to be like $845,000. But believe it or not, the very first Porsche vehicle was kind of based on the exact same principle in 1900.
111 years ago, he built a car that had electric motors at each of four wheels and a internal combustion engine that powered through a dynamo and got the electric current to the wheels.
Amazing.
So it's so amazing that so often you think, boy, this is something new that nobody's ever even thought about before. And if you read your history books, quite often you find out, well, yes, they did.
Yeah. When I was at the New York Auto Show this year and looking at some of the press materials, New York being the oldest auto show in the country, over 100 years old, you know, I couldn't help but think, you know, if I was here 100 years ago, you know, I'd be seeing what we're seeing today. I'd be seeing electric cars. I'd be seeing diesel. They were using biodiesel way back then, too. And you'd be seeing internal combustion cars. And, you know, they wouldn't be seeing steam cars, but it was kind of the same period of, you know, not quite sure which one was going to be the one that was going to take off.
Well, yeah. I mean, electrics particularly were a pretty big deal. A lot of them were built. But they suffered from the same problems that we have today, and that is that the range... it was even less, of course, in those days. We're you know, getting up to the point where I think that there can be a practical electric car. I don't know if it can be built at a practical price.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. Another little sidebar at Henry Ford we should touch on before we talk a little bit more about the Model T is the quadricycle, which was built in a brick shed. I found out that out from you in His headquarters outside of Detroit, and after he finished this quadricycle that you have driven, he couldn't get it out the door, so what did they have to do?
Well, it actually was built behind his house. It was a little homemade home workshop, and indeed, here's one of the great engineers of American history finishes his quadricycle and finds out that it won't go through the door. So they had to take down a piece of a brick wall in order to get the thing out and take it for its first test drive, which happily was successful.
Absolutely.
It was a nice little machine.
And you had the opportunity to drive it at Greenfield Village, the Henry Ford.
At the museum, and yeah. it ran just fine, but, you know, particularly on smooth roads, which were not in really big supply at the turn of the last century, but it rode just fine.
And the Model T, as you point out, was a vehicle that really, you know, put the production line into fruition and really allowed vehicles to be built quickly, and hence the price came down, and that was the secret with the Model T. And is it true that all Model Ts, or at least the beginning of the Model Ts, the beginning line, that you could have it in any color as long as it was black?
That's absolutely the truth. I think late in the production, I think they may have gotten really racy and put a maroon and a dark green in there or something, but it was basically black. And again, that was done for efficiency. And,
wow.
And here's a really good factoid that tells you what an impact the Model T did. Now, this is, you know, one car built by one manufacturer. In 1916, 55% of every automobile on Earth,
wow,
the whole globe, was a Model T.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
I mean, nobody's ever come close to something like that in the years since.
No, or ever will again, in my
nor
opinion.
Or ever will.
And it's amazing to me that your article points out the early days of racing. I mean, just like, man racing on foot or in chariots or on horses, it didn't take long. I mean, 1901, the first Grand Prix race in France, land speed records dating back to 1911, with a gentleman known as the Red Devil driving an electric vehicle. When we come back, I want you to tell our listeners about this interesting gentleman, the Red Devil. And then we'll talk about highways and lots more with William James.
Let's cruise away from here.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. Do you know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels by 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. Plant Skid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use Plant Skid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. Plant Skid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
And now, back to the show with the highest octane, Auto World, and your host, Bob Long.
We're back, and we thank you so much for being here. My name is Bob Long, alongside William Jeans, the author of two wonderful stories you can pick up in the Saturday Evening Post, the May-June edition. Got lots of beautiful renderings of Saturday Evening Post covers. It's about America's, well, actually the whole world's, 125-year love affair with the automobile. There's also a story in there about the Indy 500, and we'll touch on that as well. But before the break, we were talking about the early days of racing. I can't believe that world speed record racing dates back to 1911, and a gentleman who has a very interesting name, William, tell our listeners all about this guy.
Well, his name was Camille Genazzi, and he was a Belgian. And he had red hair and a red beard and loved to drive fast. He was an early member of the Mercedes-Benz factory team. And he was called the Red Devil. And he was an early holder of the land speed record. And interestingly, did it in an electric car. He was the first man to go over 100 kilometers an hour. And presumably, I guess the electric car, probably because the torque they have, they could get up to speed and do that easier than the early internal combustion engines. I don't know exactly, you know, why he selected the electric, but it was in 1899 when he did that. But the great story about Camille Genazzi concerns a hunting trip. He was a pretty big party boy, and you know, loved to have people to his country place to go hunting have a few pops after after being in the field all day. And one afternoon at cocktail hour, he decided that it would be really funny to take the bearskin rug out of his hallway and put it on and go snuffling and grunting around and frighten some of the guests at the hunting party. And he did this. And he was grunting around there, and the editor of the Belgian Star shot and killed him. And that's why I think a lot of auto racers have never really quite trusted journalists in the 100 years I have since then.
A very good observation. So now that we started to get all these cars on the road, we really needed to build an interstate highway system in this country. And I understand it was, you know, kind of Carl Fisher, but also he made some allies with some interesting other folks. Tell us about the early days of the highway system and how it came to be what we have today.
Well, I guess it was Mr. Fisher who first got the brainstorm. He said, you know, we have all these cars, and what we really need is a coast-to-coast highway. And keep in mind that at this time, and this is around 1912, the first transcontinental railroad had only been completed about 35 or 40 years before that. So the idea of a road that would go from coast to coast was still a pretty big deal. And he combined with Mr. Seiberling, who was the president of Goodyear, and a man named Henry Joy, who was the head of the Packard Motor Company, and they concocted this scheme whereby local governments and states would fund part of it, and the industry being the automobile industry and the tire industry, they would fund part of it, because the better the roads and the more travel, the more tires would get used up. It was a really pretty interesting and sound scheme, and they pulled it off, and it became what was known as the Lincoln Highway, and went all the way from New York to San Francisco through 11 or 12 states. There were a couple of adjustments to the route at the time, but that was the forerunner of the interstate, which actually the interstate dates to 1938, and the Second World War got in the way of any major construction on it. But today, of course, the interstates are just indispensable to us. You can drive from north to south or east to west and not have to stop at a single stoplight. And we have today 46,000 miles of interstate.
That's absolutely amazing. William Jeans is with us. If you have a question about the early days of the automobile, the 125-year love affair with the automobile, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to answer that question about who invented the electric turn signal, we can give you some other inventions here. Manual wipers invented by a woman in 1923. Also, first powered windshield wiper same year. And the radio also in 1923. In 1924, women alone came up with 173 devices for the automobile. So that's something. 1924 was also a big year. I love to see, you know, today we don't see it. And, of course, it costs so much money to build a car. You know, we've seen ill-fated attempts by Bricklin, by DeLorean, by others. I mean, now we've got Henrik Fisker, the former Aston Martin designer, with his, you know, a very expensive electric hybrid vehicle. But back in those days, I mean, it was not unusual to have vehicles named after the person. And here's one, 1924, the New York Auto Show. Walter P. Chrysler showed up on the scene with a new brand.
Yeah, Walter Chrysler had been a supplier, as had the Dodge brothers. And
wow,
they said, you know, we're making bits and pieces for other people. Why don't we just build our own? And in those days, you could do that because the manufacturing facilities were readily available. And most of all, though, the cars were basically simple. Today, you need a building full of people just to keep up with the federal regulations.
Exactly. Interesting, the sales race that still goes on today in 2011 between Ford and Chevrolet really started, when would you say, in the 30s? Is that when it really...
It heated up in the early 30s and was... And Chevrolet came out of left field and blindsided Ford. You know, we think today of Chevrolet as, you know, a quintessential American brand. But it was way behind Ford in the early going, but they kept at it. And what they did is sort of a basic of branding and marketing. They listened to the consumer, and they moved ahead with things while Ford is just sitting there saying, you know, why should we change what we're doing? I mean, you know, it took them forever to get to the Model A Ford in the early 30s. And by that time, Chevrolet had just moved a little bit ahead of them on the innovation front, and it hurt.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the move up strategy from the head of General Motors at the time. I used to hear about this ladder system from my dad growing up. You know that, you know, it kind of went away during the eras that I grew up, the 70s and 80s. It all kind of blended in together when we saw so much badge engineering going on. But back then, there was a definite ladder system. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, the chairman of General Motors at the time was Alfred P. Sloan. And Mr. Sloan did a number of things that you could say were either good or bad, but they certainly made some money for General Motors at the time. He was the guy who thought up the annual model change, for example. But his guiding precept was a car for every person purpose. So you started with a Chevrolet. That would be your first car, what we refer to today as an entry-level car. And then you would move on to Pontiac and Oldsmobile and Buick. And then if you were really bucks up, you could get to the Cadillac.
Great.
Today on The Long Drive, a $60,000 plus Hyundai. The Long Drive is brought to you by LifeShield.
So is it too late to talk to the kids?
Yeah, they're already asleep.
I really miss you guys.
Well, then you should tell your boss, no more business trips.
Yeah, right, that'll go over well. Anyway, I won't.
I just heard a noise downstairs.
What?
Oh my God, someone's in the house.
Call 911 and don't move.
But they're already in the house.
Don't put your home and your family at risk. Call LifeShield Home Security today. 877-404-7453. Get the best protection at the best price. It's 65% less expensive than ADT or Broadview. And with three layers of backup protection, LifeShield's wireless system stays on during power outages if your internet goes down, even if your phone lines are cut.
I have to get the kids.
Just wait for the police.
And right now, get 30 days of free home security with LifeShield's risk-free trial. Call 877-404-7453. Protect your home and family now. Call 877-404-7453 or visit trylifeshield.com for more. Call 877-404-7453 now.
The Hyundai Equus has the Mercedes S-Class in its gun sights. Priced at around $60,000, it has more standard equipment than any other vehicle on the road with a price tag of less than $100,000. It even has an iPad owner's manual. Paul Eisenstein, publisher of the Detroit Bureau, tells us more.
Yeah, they're more like a business jet than they are what you would typically expect to find inside of a passenger car, even some of the high-end vehicles. If you are interested in one of the Hyundai Equus models, they will actually come to your home or office to discuss the sale with you there.
I'm Bob Long for TheLongDrive.com.
What if you could enjoy a refreshing cigarette without worrying about your health? Great news! Now you can enjoy everything you love about a cigarette without everything you hate. It's called the VaporMate e-cig, and it's made by Smokeaway, so you know it's good. VaporMate utilizes patented microelectronic technology that mixes rich tobacco flavor with harmless water vapor. It tastes like a cigarette, smokes like a cigarette, and best of all, it calms you down like a cigarette should. And if you call in the next 30 minutes, we'll give you your VaporMate e-cig kit valued at $129 free. No more secondhand smoke, smelly clothes, hacking and coughing. Just the great flavor and calming sensation of a real cigarette you can smoke anywhere. Claim your VaporMate when you get your tobacco-flavored filters free. A $129 value, yours free. Imagine the money you'll save each month. But you must call now.
Call 888-444-6625. That's 888-444-6625. Again, 888-444-6625.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, it's Billy F. Gibbons from ZZ Top, and you're listening right here to Auto World.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Bob Long. We appreciate you being here. We're chatting with William Jeans, noted automotive journalist, author, and all-around great guy. He has written a wonderful couple of stories for the Saturday Evening Post. I can't emphasize enough. You guys should check this out. The renderings, the pictures, they're just wonderful. Celebrating 125 years of a love affair with the automobile, with the automobile, along with, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. And we're telling you some interesting factoids about the early days of the automotive industry. And, William, as we move up this ladder system, is, as you were saying, if you're really doing well, then the top car was a Cadillac, except you have a little asterisk next to that when it comes to doctors.
Yeah, well, if you were a doctor, you had to stop at Buick. And that was how Buicks became known as the doctor's car.
That's
and great. which was not an all bad thing, although later in the 20th century it became a pejorative. But I'll tell you, the ladder system was pretty strictly adhered to. My dad, even though he could afford it, ultimately, did not own a Cadillac until quite late in life.
Yes.
He just said, I don't want to be driving a Cadillac.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were dead serious about it.
Yeah, I know, you know, my dad, I grew up as an only child, and the family car was a T-Bird, you know, a lot of T-Birds. We had a, let's see, a 68.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely a 68. It's kind of the big ones, though, the 68, 71, 73, 79, 81, 85. So that was pretty cool. But my dad definitely, you know, could have treated himself to a Lincoln Mark, but again, just never did so. You know, just hold the line there. Interesting. Let's talk a little bit more forward here and get up into the 70s. You know, Matt, my producer here at this network, drives a Ford Taurus. Before that, he had a Camry, and he really loved his Camry. But I'm old enough to remember the initial Japanese cars in this country, and they were horrific. Unbelievable.
Oh, good Lord. They were so bad. And you just wondered, why were they bothering? And yet, once again, if some really bright people, and I don't, know anyone who's ever accused the Japanese of being less than bright. They looked at the market, they went out and they talked to their customers, and about the time they were starting to improve their products, the oil crisis of the 70s hit.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Detroit woke up and Japan had 10% or more of the market, which doesn't sound like much today, given what's happened since. But at the time, it was a real wake-up call.
Absolutely.
Not that they did.
Of course, there have been some great innovations to Daimler, Chrysler back in those days, brought the minivan in 73. But it's interesting to see the changes, too, with, taste that, first station wagons went out of style and everybody wanted, the minivan, and then the minivan went out of style and everybody wanted to be seen in an SUV, and now we have a crossover, which is, as you write, kind of a modern-day station wagon. So it's, again, everything old is new again.
Exactly. I have to say, the crossover to me is a piece of nonsense, but they're selling very well, and if it makes people happy to own something and call it a crossover, who am I to complain? I was the guy who, back in 1983, said, is the minivan the answer to the question nobody's asked? So that shows you how smart I am.
And those first minivans were pretty bad. I mean, when you compare the minivans of today, of course, we could say that with so many different brands and vehicles.
Well, they were pretty basic. They weren't really bad.
Yeah, they were basic.
They were certainly strange to gaze upon for, most of us. But, boy, I guess beginning in year two of the minivan, off they went.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you what, we have a minivan. One of our two cars is a minivan.
Mm-hmm.
And once you own one, it is very difficult to convince yourself to have your home fleet missing a minivan.
Yes.
You can just do anything with the things.
Yeah, my father and mother-in-law, late bloomer that I am, getting married for the first time 6 years ago, they have a minivan, and boy, they, like you say, they go to Costco, and my father-in-law plays golf and likes to bring his buddies around, and it's such a versatile vehicle, and it's interesting to see how it's evolved. The story, once again, you can check it out in the May, June, Saturday Evening Post, celebrating America's 125-year love affair with cars. We'll briefly touch on, see, I could have you on for 2 hours, no problem, William. We'll talk about the second article on the 100th anniversary of Indy, which happened this year. Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. The track went back to 1905, began with motorcycle racing in 1909. But the first 500 race was on Memorial Day of 1911. And
100 years ago.
Absolutely. Tell everybody who Irwin Cannonball Baker was.
Well, Cannonball Baker was a man who I guess could be considered the daredevil of his time. But, again, early in the century, was known for making record runs across the United States, and he made a great many of them. And from Cannonball, who he was named by a newspaper reporter somewhere, called him Cannonball Baker, and that's where the Cannonball Run and the Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash comes from.
Amazing. And certainly the track surface at Indy, everybody refers to it as the Brickyard, because at one time it was indeed a brick track.
It was paved with bricks, which just had to be horrendous to spend 500 miles bouncing along on those things. I can't imagine that.
Absolutely. Only closed a couple of times during World War I and World War II, and Interesting, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. My dad was a World War II vet, so I know a whole lot about World War II. And this gentleman was a real hero, you know, unlike the Navy SEALs that shot Osama bin Laden. We'll never know who those folks are. That's today's world. But back then, folks like Captain Rickenbacker, they were heroes.
Well, Eddie Rickenbacker was America's ace of aces from World War One, the 1914-18 war, and shot down 27 planes and was awarded the Medal of Honor.
Amazing. And the Holman family, tell us a little bit about Tony and when he took over the Indy track and of course, that famous Start Your Engines.
He was the man who started that. I don't know if it was used in, you know, anywhere else in the world, but he was the man who began the Gentlemen Start Your Engines at Indianapolis. You know, I think I'm right. It could have been Wilbur Shaw who was the guy he hired to manage. In any event, the best thing that could have possibly happened to Indianapolis or any other racetrack was Mr. Holman's buying it, because he was a businessman. His company made Clabber Girl baking powder, which was one of the most popular kitchen products in the United States or in the world.
Wow.
During the bulk of the 20th century. So he had the money, and but most of all, he ran the track like a business, and it indeed prospered and is done well. It's still there. Tony George is who runs it now, or maybe did I read he just retired or something, but is married into the Holman family, so that family still is in charge at Indianapolis.
And I found it interesting too to read more about the city of Indianapolis. 65 vehicle manufacturers have put up shop there. That's a whole lot. I mean, that's right up there with Detroit, I would imagine.
If the transportation system and the availability of iron ore and some other things had been different, Detroit might well have been in Indianapolis.
Two wonderful stories, ladies and gentlemen. Start Your Engines and America's 125-year love affair with cars. The May-June edition of the Saturday Evening Post. Pick it up. William, thank you, my friend. We'll do this again real soon.
My pleasure. Look forward to it.
That's going to do it for this hour.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.